Good morning. It's an exciting time here at the Maryville congregation. We're so blessed to have Randy and Danny and Jim that have agreed to serve as additional shepherds of this flock. These are good men that have the heart of God and have a desire to see us be the best we can be as God's people in this place. They're men of character. They are men of vision, they are men of compassion, and they are men who have agility to be able to navigate up here on the stage with all of this stuff in the way this morning, so I commend them for that. But we do welcome you here this morning and are thankful that you're here for our worship gathering together as a body of believers here in this place. We started last Sunday trying to explore just a little bit about what it means to be connected to God. And if you're going to be connected to God in your personal life, in your walk through this life with Him, it is so important that you make time for Him. We live in a very busy world, lots of demands placed upon us, a lot of stress and a lot of strain from day to day. But if you're going to be connected to God, you've got to be still and know that He is God. And so we looked last week at the importance of in the hustle and bustle and the noise of life, finding deliberate times of quietness to be in God's presence. But there's a question that emerges from that. When you be still and find that time of quietness and rest in God's presence, what then? What am I supposed to do in that quiet time with God? Well, that's what I want us to think about and talk about and meditate on this morning. There's something that Psalm chapter 1 talks about in this beautiful song that introduces this hymnal for God's people in the Old Testament. It introduces the idea of what you need to do before you pray. There's something very important that before you're ready to commune with God, you've got to prepare yourself. Not only do you need to find that quiet time, but you need to prepare yourself before you pray, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. A lot of folks today, in fact, an increasing number of people will say to you that they know what it's like to feel burned out. Have you ever been there? You ever been at a place in your life where you have just been running at breakneck speed for so long, you've been so driven, so compelled, so rushed, so busy in your life, and you've pushed and you've pushed. You've worked long hours. You've had so many obligations and you've felt the weight of it. And you've gotten to the place where you can't push anymore. Have you ever felt what it's like to feel so many expectations placed upon you in your life that you just feel overwhelmed? Have you ever gotten to a place where you felt just completely burned out? I read an article this week in preparing for this sermon. There was an article that appeared in USA Today in 2012. That detailed a study that was done of over 5,000 American workers. 63% said that they felt like that they were at the point of being so stressed that they were ready to just absolutely check out of life completely. Just completely burned out. We can get to a place in the culture in which we live where we're so filled with the busyness of life that the interior of our spirits begin to erode. I've known several people, some guys in fact, pretty rugged men, that bought big, huge trucks, you know, dually trucks with the lift kit underneath it, you know, and they would buy these brand new trucks right off of the showroom lot. Brand new vehicles that run at peak efficiency. And they take them out and just absolutely abuse them. I knew one guy, he'd had a truck, he hadn't had it a month, and he'd already ripped the fender off of the thing. You know, out there mudding in the woods and running up against a tree and just take the fender right off of the thing. Just completely wear it out. Sometimes we do that to our own lives. We wear ourselves out. I'm a big fan of the Lord of the Rings movies, and there's this one scene in the Lord of the Rings where the Hobbit Bilbo says this. He says, "I feel thin, sort of stretched like butter scraped over too much bread." Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt like you were completely burned out? What happens when we get to that place? I think what happens is sometimes the urgent things in life, the important things in life that call for our attention cannot be neglected, and therefore we pour ourselves into those outer things, and yet the inner health of ourselves, which is so desperate to be nourished and maintained, is all too easily quietly neglected, and we begin to shrivel and die on the inside. Our connection with God begins to wilt and sometimes is severed. We experience what Gordon MacDonald in his book, Ordering Your Private World, calls the sinkhole syndrome, where there's so much pressure on the surface of life that we don't maintain what is underneath. And we can only do that for so long. We can only neglect our inner selves for so long until the weight and the pressures of our outer worlds cause us to collapse on the inside. That's burnout. We become spiritually polluted. Our outer worlds call for our attention, and meanwhile we're eroding on the inside and experiencing ultimately what might be termed an inner collapse. Well, what do? You see, the key to preventing burnout, the key to getting to that place, is not only being still and creating time to be alone with God, but doing something deliberate with that time. What Psalm 1 calls meditating. And that's what I want to explore with you this morning. If you look in your Bibles at Psalm 1, you'll notice in the first part of the psalm, he contrasts the two different people. One person lives his or her life in a way that is very wise, and they experience blessing. They experience nourishment and rejuvenation. A blessed life because you've chosen to walk down a wise pathway, while the foolish person or the wicked person chooses a completely different course. Well, what makes the difference? You'll see in verse number 2, the wise person, his delight is on the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And then to help us get the imagery, to get the picture, he says it's like this, verse number 3. The wise person is like a tree that is planted by a stream of water where there is plenty of water that nourishes and sustains the tree. And so being planted by the streams of water, that tree is able to be sustained, is able to grow. It's able to notice the last part, yield its fruit in its season. And even when the drought comes, even when there are dry days, its leaf does not wither. But the wicked man, notice verse number 4, is not like that. The wicked man is like a man that is driven by the wind, and it's like chaff that is blown in the wind. Now, a lot of us don't know what chaff is. Chaff is like whenever you've got wheat or grain or some other kind of seed that goes through the threshing process, you see that the kernel or the husk of that seed is left behind, and it's a very light material, kind of like this. And whenever the wind blows, it's just blown in every direction. There's no stability, there's no substance, there's no solidness to that person. They're just blown by every wind. And so the psalmist here says, don't be like the man that is blown like chaff in the wind, but instead be like a tree that is planted by a stream of water. Well, the question is, what's the difference between these two? What's the difference of the person that experiences the burnout, the stress and strain of life, and whenever it's just too much, there's the inner collapse? When it's just too much, it's like anything that comes along is like wind that just scatters you and blows you to the wind, versus the person that even in the dry times, the leaf is still green because you're planted by something that is perpetually giving you nourishment. The difference has everything to do with meditation. Verse number 2, the wise person meditates on the law of the Lord both day and night. Psalm chapter 1 has been called by some Bible scholars a meditation on meditation. Let's meditate on the importance and the value and the essentiality of meditation in our lives. When we're being still to know God, what do we meditate on? What do we fill our minds with? This psalm has been called by some people a pre-prayer, the thing that must be done before you're ready to pray, before you're ready to commune with God. If you want to be like that tree that is rooted deeply and receives that nourishment from that nearby stream and is still green in its leaf, even in the dry times, the key is meditation. Everybody meditates. Everybody does, whether you realize it or not. In fact, I like what Rick Warren says. He says, if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. See, it's not a question of whether or not you meditate. It's a question of what do you meditate on. You see, most of us, what we spend our minds mulling over and consumed with, let's be honest, is ourselves and our problems. Well, when you meditate on yourself and your problems, there's another word for that. It's called rumination. You're ruminating, but that's a form of meditation, but it's a self-centered meditation. And when you ruminate, it will ruin you. That's why Jesus warns us. I think some Christians read what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount about how you shouldn't be anxious for anything and don't worry, and we think that's unrealistic, or why is he harping on that, or why is he trying to make me feel bad about how much I do worry? He knows that when you ruminate, it will ruin you. When you're consumed about yourself and your own life and what's going wrong and what the problems are. And so the solution, some people say, is that if you have a problem focusing on the problems, if you ruminate all the time, then what you need to do is meditate. But the way meditation is defined by Eastern religion, like transcendental meditation or saying mantras, saying a same phrase over and over again, or posturing yourself in a certain way and taking deep breaths, what they're trying to get you to do is clear your mind of all the problems. Clear your mind out. Empty your mind. Try to transcend all of that by taking deep breaths and saying a repeated phrase over and over. But here's the problem with that. When you get up from that meditation, the problems are still there. And when the Bible, when Psalm 1 says that we need to meditate, what's interesting is, and the Bible consistently does this, is the definition of Christian meditation is something that is almost directly opposed to Near Eastern religion's definition of meditation. Because in transcendental meditation, or saying a mantra, the idea is to clear your mind, whereas Christian meditation means you fill your mind, but fill your mind with the right things. Meditate on the teachings and instructions of the Lord. Notice, meditate. His delight, verse 2, is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates both day and night. Now you say, well, what is the benefit of that? What would be the benefit of meditation? Why is it that the person who meditates is like the tree planted by a stream of water, whereas the person who doesn't meditate is like chaff blown by the and scattered by the wind? The difference is this. A tree that is planted by the water side has stability. And the person who meditates has inner stability. You see, a tree that is rooted deeply in the ground and finds that nourishment and really grows and puts its roots down strongly and deeply cannot be blown away. The winds will come, but the strong tree will stand. Particularly if it's planted by a stream, even when the hard days come, when there is drought, when there is hard times, there are dry times, the tree is stable. You see, when the hard times come for you, do you feel like that you are stable in the times of upheaval, in the times of adversity, in the times of stress, strain, and difficulty? You can have peace and courage if you are a person who meditates, because meditation on the law of the Lord provides stability, because you're rooted in something deeper than yourself. Your roots grow deep and find nourishment in divine water, so that when all other sources dry up, when all other avenues by which you tend to find your comfort and solace in life, when all those sources are cut up and all those sources dry up, if you found your identity in your marriage or in your family, what are you going to do when your marriage crumbles or your family dissolves? But you see, if you are like a tree planted by the streams of the water, you have your identity and your stability deeply planted in divine water, so that when all other sources dry up, you are still stable. But chaff, on the other hand, is lightweight. And it just is blown around by even the slightest puff of wind of circumstances in life. But the tree, its leaf does not wither. It's an evergreen tree, even in winter, in a spiritual winter. Its leaves remain green. There will be seasons in your life, if you meditate on the law of the Lord, there will be seasons of great joy and fruitfulness. You will yield your fruit in the right season. But even when the time is not the time for fruit bearing, in the winter times of spiritual drought in your life, when God does seem distant, your leaf will still be green. You will still have inner stability if you are a person that meditates on the law of the Lord. But why else is meditation important? Because meditation not only gives stability, it gives substance. You see, a tree can produce fruit, chaff cannot. Why? Because a tree is a living thing. It is connected to something other than itself. Its roots run deep below the surface. And likewise, the person who meditates thinks through things. The person who meditates on the law of the Lord has deep convictions. A person who meditates is the person who can take a very complex topic or situation and explain it in very simple language. Because you have meditated. A person who meditates has good reasons for the things that they do. But unfortunately, many people today don't spend the time not only being still in the hustle and bustle of our life, that's step one, but then not even going to the second step of meditating. And if you don't meditate, then what do? You're like chaff. You just live on impulse, whatever feels good, whatever's convenient for the moment. The person that is like chaff that does not meditate just skims over life like a rock skipping on the top of the water, following whims and fancy, living shallow lives. But the person who is like a tree planted by the water that meditates daily, night and day, on the law of the Lord is a person who is involved in intense thinking. But it's more than just intense thinking. It's not intense thinking alone. Colossians 3:16 in the New Testament says that we should be filled with the Word of Christ, but be filled with it richly. There's a difference between simply meditating on God's Word and knowing it intellectually. It's another thing when you have meditated on the law of the Lord in a rich, deep, and penetrating way, so that you contemplate the message personally and press down what you know in the law of God, press it down into your heart so that it brings about character transformation. That's the power of meditation. And that's what will bring life to a tree planted by the waters. That's what will bring life to the blessed person. Now, thirdly, meditation is not something that happens overnight. The kind of growth that happens here is not something that happens instantaneously. Trees don't grow overnight. It's something that happens consistently. It is something that is persistent. It is something that is a sustained process. My parents live in a house that it's an old farmhouse. It's been there for well over 100 years. When the house was first built, there was a little community doctor who built that little modest house, and he lived there. He had in the front yard, he built a small little office where he did his practice. And the story goes that this was back in the days when doctors did house calls, and so he would go in that little community from house to house and see patients. And the story goes that one day he was walking on a ridge top going to a patient's house when he saw, probably in the fall of the year, a small little switch of a sapling growing out of the ground that had some beautiful leaves on it. It was a little beech sapling. And so he dug it up and he put it in his pack, and after he finished his days of calling on patients, he came back home and he planted that little switch in the front yard of what became my parents' house, the house that I grew up in. But as I grew up as a teenage boy, I never knew that tree to be a little sapling switch. I knew it to be a beech tree that you couldn't even reach around. It literally was this big around. But that didn't happen overnight. Day after day, night after night, slowly and persistently, that tree continued to cast out roots deeper and deeper and deeper into the soil, finding the nourishing water that it needed to survive. It was a slow but constant process. It is a process of consistency. In the same way, we must stick with it. Do you notice here in verse 2, what is the difference between the person whose leaf is still green even in the dry times versus the person who experiences complete spiritual, physical, emotional, mental burnout, like chaff blown in the wind when the winds come blowing? The difference is meditation, but the meditation is something that must be done both day and night. Look at verse 2 again. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates day and night. This is something that is regular and steady. And again, it involves not just thinking deeply about truth, not just thinking truth out, but thinking truth in. The Pharisees of Jesus' day knew intellectually a lot of Bible, but they had not meditated on it and pressed down that truth into their hearts until they could sense it, until they could taste it. But that's what we must do. You must meditate on truth until it becomes a part of you. If you know what it's like to feel the stress and the strain of life, and you know what it's like to sometimes feel as if life is too much to bear, the only thing that will get you through is making time to connect with God. Step one, be still. Be still. Step two, before you start praying, meditate. Contemplate, think through, think out and think in the truth of God. Reader's Digest carried an article back in, I think, 1981, the particular issue that I happened to encounter, and they carried a story. I don't know whether it's a true story or not. It's in Reader's Digest, so it must be true. But the story said that back in the day when Henry Ford was in the heyday of his life and in his success in building his company, that he hired an efficiency expert to come in and look at his factory and determine where they could be more efficient in the way that he ran his company. And so he did all of his research, and he looked at everything that was being done there, and he came back to Henry Ford and said, everything really is run very efficiently here. He said, I only noticed one thing. He said, I was walking down a certain hallway, and he told the hallway and the room number, and he said, I went by this one man's office, and he was sitting there at his desk with his feet up on his desk, just sitting there. And he said, I think you might ought to think about that particular man. He doesn't seem to be very efficient. And Henry Ford said, that man came up with an idea that saved this company millions of dollars. He said, I think his feet are right where they need to be. Now, the point I want you to get from that story is that sometimes in our rush to try to do so much, we neglect the power of maintaining inner focus, meditation, thinking out and thinking in where we are in our connection with God, where we are in our own personal walk, the changes we may need to make to be more in His image. And so, we must not neglect or forget the importance of meditating on the law of the Lord both day and night. It is essential, the essential thing that you and I must do when we're being still before God, and it's what we must do before we pray. We'll pick up there next week. This morning, let me ask you, is there anything we can do to help with your personal walk with God? If you need prayers, we've got good shepherds of this flock that are here to serve you. And if they can help you with prayer or in some way just offering encouragement and support to you, we'll have one man down front as we're about to stand, and also some privately in the library. If you've got a private concern, they'd love to talk with you. They would welcome you warmly. If you're ready to obey Christ and you've got questions, let's sit down together and study the Word. Please see me. I'll be out in the foyer. Just pull me aside and let's make an appointment to sit down together and have some interaction, and maybe some of your questions can be answered. If we can help you in your obedience to Jesus in any way, we encourage you to come to Him as we stand and as we sing.